30 years ago this morning, the world's worst industrial disaster struck in India. 3 decades later, the disaster is not over. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. First, the U.S. Supreme Court today hears a discrimination case involving pregnancy and the workplace. A worker is suing UPS over the accommodations made and not made during her pregnancy. As Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, it's a case that businesses are watching and employees should be watching.
Lower courts have basically dismissed the lawsuit brought by former UPS worker Peggy Young. Still, businesses are paying attention to this case.
I'm not getting anybody that's freaking out right now.
Steve Hirschfeld is an employment lawyer in San Francisco. He says while his business clients aren't freaking out, they are wondering what'll happen if Peggy Young wins.
Are we going to need to hire somebody on a temporary basis or temporarily move this person to another job? For very small companies, that can be very, very difficult to do.
And Hirschfeld says the biggest cost for employers would be an avalanche of pregnancy discrimination lawsuits. Other employment lawyers say not necessarily. Catherine Kimple represents workers in discrimination cases and filed a friend of the court brief in support of Peggy Young. She says many pregnant workers request accommodations that cost almost nothing.
Are things like being able to keep a water bottle with them or having, if they work at a cash register, having a stool.
And Kimple says accommodating pregnant workers makes good business sense because it helps you keep good employees. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The European economy's in the doldrums. Its sales slack the boat listing. The European Central Bank meets tomorrow, and market players are anticipating word about a new stimulus, large-scale purchasing of bonds to bring down interest rates and prompt more lending. Jasper Lawler is an analyst with CMC Markets in London.
Now that the U.S. is winding down its own purchases, markets are looking for another European or international central bank for the U.S. to hand the baton over to in terms of stimulating markets. And the primary candidates are the European Central Bank and the People's Bank of China. The ECB have been directly referring to it, and the European economy is seeing record low levels of inflation, and there is concerns that that low inflation, which currently stands at about 0.3% annually, when the ECB have a target of 2% annually, the risk is that not only are they not meeting their 2% target, it's that they actually, the Eurozone turns into deflation.
Today is the 30th anniversary of the world's worst industrial disaster. On the morning of December 3, 1984, lethal gas leaked from a fertilizer plant in Bhopal, India, killing thousands in their sleep. The plant, then owned by Union Carbide of the U.S., is now part of Dow Chemical. Our newsroom partners at the BBC sent a reporter, and if you would, listen for several themes in Yogiti Lamai's piece. What to do about the children of victims, the lack of cleanup and accountability even now, 30 years later, and the increasing attention of at least some institutional investors. Here's Yogita from Bhopal.
Singing a hymn asking God for strength. Disabled children of all ages at a rehabilitation center in Bhopal. More than 700 are treated here. All of them are born to parents affected by the gas leak from Union Carbide's pesticide factory in 1984. Rashida B., a victim herself, set up the center 8 years ago.
The people who died during the disaster, they were fortunate. The unlucky ones, those still around, who are here to see that even future generations are being born disabled because of the effects of the gas.
But this can't be proved. No studies ever been done on the health impact of the world's worst industrial disaster. The cleanup is locked in a legal battle about who will pay for it, even as the chemical waste in the factory has been found to be contaminating the water supply in the area. It was tested by Sunita Narayan of the Centre for Science and Environment.
Our study is showing that what you're seeing on today is a continuing disaster, and that's what we call Bhopal 2.0. We need to make sure that we can clean up. There is clearly toxins lying there. And we have to make sure that people don't drink polluted water.
In a statement to the BBC, Union Carbide has said that the government closed off the site right after the leak. And so, it was only able to do some clean-up work a decade later. The company says the plant is now controlled by the government, which is therefore responsible for the cleanup.
The life of a guinea pig in the Western world costs more than what they have paid for the Indian deaths of Indians in the carbide gas tragedy.
Swaraj Puri was the top police officer in the city at the time of the leak.
I would have liked that they would have compensated us at the same standards as they would have compensated an American citizen.
Now, some shareholders in the company have said it should pay more. Stu Dalheim of Calvert Investments says Union Carbide's reputation is hurting its chances in India.
To date, the company has been challenged operating there and growing there. So we think the company needs to provide compensation to help with the environmental cleanup, to help victims who are still suffering, in a way that will help them, again, move forward and enter that market.
Despite this, it's unlikely the company will change its stance on Bhopal. And for many people back in the city, it'll be one more year of marking a tragedy that's defined their lives.
The BBC's Yagita Lamai. The Indian government estimates that leak 30 years ago killed about 4,000 people almost immediately, but lingering effects pushed deaths to about 15,000 in the years that followed. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.